I was supposed to tell this story about how Kane had this girlfriend that he killed in a car crash. And it was just insane. And it ends up, I'm at a funeral home with a dummy in a coffin.
Oh, my God.
With Kane's mask on, pretending I'm Kane. I'm on top of the coffin having mock sex with this mannequin.
Oh, my God, no. And Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. And Vince is yelling at me. God damn it, do it harder, make more noise and stuff. It's got to be over the top.
I really did. I screwed your brains out.
You see the guy that came out as gay for the Raiders, now he's got the number one selling jersey.
Yeah, that's great, man.
So I guess the backlash has to be now, we got to go buy us a bunch of Tim Tebow jerseys. We can't let him win. Come on now, let's go. We got to do boycott with a whole bunch of Tim Tebow jerseys because he loved God and shit like that. Come on now.
Well, see, it was like Tebow was one up on everything because he's come back and he's, you know, I don't think they're covering it as much as they probably maybe should and shouldn't. I don't know, but they're not covering it as I thought they might, I guess. But regardless, he was one up. So the other side had to keep going, you know, so. Good for them. Good for them to one up the tight end of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Now this will get us into our discussion of that that article in Forbes magazine where Shahid Khan basically says, I gave Richie Rich a couple of bucks and told him to go fuck off. Remember what we've been told again. Tony Khan's not just some little guy that won the sperm lottery. He's like one of the very important brain trusts of the front office of the Jacksonville Jaguars, right?
Let's not forget that.
He's one of the guys that decided, let's have Tim Tebow as a professional play a position he hasn't played since he was 12. Let's do that. Let's make that happen. Because, I mean, that's just a football decision. There's no kind of culture thing. They're not trying to get over with their fans or anything like that, right?
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not sure if he's ever played that position before. Maybe he has.
I don't think so.
And not only that, the last sport he played wasn't even football.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Good luck. Good luck with that, TK.
Look, you just want to ignore the fact that he made the AA team, the AA All-Star team. You're just gonna ignore that, right? Is that what you're gonna do?
Yeah, well, Michael Jordan put butts in the seats in Birmingham, so whatever.
So they put the quote out there, and Shahid Khan goes, look, I didn't think it was a good business thing. What I said to my kids was, I got a shit ton of money for you. I got a shit ton of money for your sister. I don't want to necessarily wait till I die before you guys get it, so here, have some money and go do something. Now, that's fine. I don't, I'm not going to beat up any. Remember who this is for. Remember who this interview is for. It's in Forbes magazine. It's in Forbes magazine. This is basically Shahid Khan for all of his business buddies that might want to do business with him, get into contract with him, or he hangs out with him at parties and stuff, so that they'll know he's not fucking mentally ill. Like, he didn't think it was a good investment to go into pro wrestling. That's basically what that, that's what that interview is for.
Is he heading it off at the pass kind of shit?
Kind
or
of.
Do you think he's already caught like some shit from it and he's just coming back at him?
I'm sure that there's some people that run into him at the country club or they're hanging out with him at the executive washroom. Like, hey, what's up with the fake fighting shit that you got? No. My boy's.
You talking about the stuff that I get like on Twitter. Yes. When this is okay, gotcha.
And then he's like, oh, wait, let me just clarify this. Forbes magazine, I want you to tell all my business partners they can still do business with me. I'm still a great businessman. That's why my Premier League team has been relegated and my Jacksonville Jaguars just got the top pick. And we just signed a guy who's never played tight end to that position at the highest level. Don't worry about me. We can do business together.
We're good over here.
I've just got my crazy White Claw drinking permed son over here just doing some fake fighting and trying to be White Dixie Claw. Carter for the 2020s. That's all.
Yeah. Well.
That's what that interview's for. That's what that story is for. It's to kind of allay to his people, hey, The old man's not crazy. He's just got an eccentric son who's a fuck off and can't decide what to do with his life. He gave him one job with the Jaguars, and the kid had, you know, he read a lot of the newsletters, and now he wanted to start his own promotion. So he took his little Tinker Toys, his little Lego, and he made a real Lego village, and now that's what he's doing. That's it.
He kind of did, didn't he? Mm-hmm. With the Legos, I like that. I'm starting to think about that open that I was texting you about, I guess, a couple of weeks ago or a week ago on Impact when Khan came out there with Scott D'Amore to open up Impact. And I'm like, oh, my God. Here we go.
I know, right?
And it was just pretty typical. I mean, it wasn't bad. It wasn't good. It was just kind of typical him. But it just what you're talking about, just the way he was presenting himself on there is just so this. It's so this. It was shooting straight. It was.
He's trying to be sort of the heel, but like it's the Jim Cornette sort of gimmick about mama, you know, buying my way into wrestling, but it's real. It's like real,
but it's
right?
real, but it's real.
Like mama Cornette decided that she wanted me to buy off the best talent. I don't know if I'm going to get Bill Dundee. I don't know if I'm going to get, you know, I don't know if I'm going to get Buddy. I don't know who I'm going to get, but it's like Richie Rich is actually doing it. You know?
Oh, yeah. And again, I just think that potential just is just palm of his hand, man.
Yeah.
He's got right there. I mean, I don't think should we say that we're not knocking him for having what he has? I think we're knocking him for having what he has and not doing with it what he should. Or do you think?
He's not making business decisions. He's making decisions on trying to get over with the boys and stuff like that.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah,
that's what it seems like.
I mean, when you sign up Christian Cage, he's not going to be really that good for anything. And there's instant buyer's remorse. And you got Sean Spears. You can't figure out what to do. But you know, he's a nice guy, and the boys like him. Just keep on paying him. You know, it's that kind of shit. Oh, we just signed up Paul White, and we just signed up Mark Henry. Oh, what are you going to do with him? We got a YouTube show we're going to use them on. It's going to be cool. You're going to like it. Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
That's good. Hey, man, did you watch Dynamite this week? I was like, oh, yeah, you know, Dynamite, whatever. And, oh, yeah, did you watch Dark and Dark Elevation and then Dark Homebrew and then Dark Organic and then Dark Extra Gold? What the fuck? Just have a
Dark
program.
Shadows.
Dark, I don't know. What are you fucking guys doing? Just fucking have a show.
I know. And they legit have one coming on, what, TBS or something?
Eventually.
Is that what Mark Henry was going to be a part of, right?
I think so. Yeah. It's
maybe Keith Lee will be on there too. Shit. What the hell?
We can't figure out what's going on with that. Like, he seems to be, at this point, Keith Lee seems to be almost like a political prisoner, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Prisoner. That's what it seems like.
We can't figure out, like, he can't. It's like, and he'll send up a message going, guys, I'm remaining positive, and I can't really talk about it, but I look forward to getting up with you in a couple of weeks. Hashtag blessed, or whatever the fuck. It's like it's him drinking a smoothie or something. And it's like,
everything's great. It's all good over here.
It really is. It's like, it's so weird because, I mean, that guy was so over. He was so fucking over. And Vince is like, I'm about to work hard, but I think I can fuck it up. Give me a minute. I'll just sketch it up. Here's how I plan on fucking it up.
I just don't get it, man. And it's just I don't know, the whole secret shit. That's the thing that gets me about it. I just don't understand the whole, what are you covering up here?
Wasn't it him and Otis that Vince decided that they didn't know how to work?
Yeah,
and
Otis.
Now I love, because a couple of weeks ago, was it last week? I think it was Friday.
I can't remember.
Otis, they brought Otis in and he started whooping ass and he's all shaved up and stuff. He's got a different look and I'm like, fuck, this is great. This is really good. So I thought, well, they've kind of figured out the Otis thing, but I don't know, like, Is Keith Lee like 2 weeks away from learning a Hurricane Rana and he can come back home? Or, I mean, I don't know what's happening here. I have no idea what's going on here, right?
Well, I don't know. I may be wrong on this, but I haven't seen a whole lot of difference in Otis since he came back. Just saying.
Yeah.
Other than his beard being gone, I don't, the ring work.
And again,
it
I
looks
don't know.
The same. I don't see any difference there. I may be missing something, but.
And what were you looking for? I mean, what was it that you're looking for him to do? I don't really need him to have like a massive moveset or anything.
I guess Vince wants him to do like Undertaker and do like old school, you know.
I don't know.
Some shit. I don't know.
It'd be like Ron Fuller going, Andre, I just can't book you until you figure out to come off the top rope. I'm sorry, yeah. But we can't have you in the territory until we start getting some lucha moves out of your ass.
Yeah, work on that, Andre.
What? What is that? I mean, Jesus Christ, that's dumb as shit. Yeah, I mean, I like your King Kong Bundy, but until you can start doing slice bread number two, I'm not going to be able to use you. I'm sorry. We're not going to be able to.
Get out of my face.
What is the fuck? What is going on? I don't have any idea what's going on.
I don't know.
I was talking to Brad on the Brad and Britcast. I said, hey, you going to get some of that Comcast Universal stock ahead of them buying the WWE? He's like, nah, I got some Disney. I'm good on media stock. I don't know if Comcast would get a spike in buying from them or not. I don't know if the stock would do well based on buying WWE or not.
You know, I think so. If it was back in the late 1990s, yeah, I would back say, when
the merger and acquisition thing, the M&A thing was like huge.
The whole, you know, anytime like Austin and Rock were the main thing going and that sort of thing, I would say, yeah, I bet that stock would go up because of them. But nowadays, I don't know, so man. Much.
Well, the integration stuff's going to be great and all that, but I don't, you know, I think, first of all, Wall Street's kind of over all the merger and acquisition stuff anyway. At some point, you're kind of taking on dead weight. My new theory is, and I don't know if I presented it on the show, is that I think when Comcast Universal buys it, they're going to go back to calling it the WWF. I feel strongly that's going to happen.
Really? What makes you say that? I haven't heard you say this.
I believe that Universal is going to reach out to the World Wildlife Federation and go, look, you're under new management. I know those guys fucked up everything. Here are the terms. Because they could have, the WWF, remember, could have kept using it. They had a deal worked out with the World Wildlife Federation to use it, and they violated their agreement on how they did it and everything. I kind of feel like the NBC Universal guys are going to reach out to the World Wildlife Federation, go, here's a check, and oh, by the way, here's our new agreement, and we promise not to use it in this, that, and the other, and then we'll give you guys a fundraiser once a year or something, and then that'll be the end of it, and then they'll go back to you calling it the WWF. I think that could happen.
Okay. Why would they do that?
I think it's a much stronger brand name overall than the WWE. Plus, they're again the median age of their consumer is really close to our age, and we're the ones that remember WWF anyway, and that's what some older people still call it anyway. To me, in the marketplace, it had a much stronger presence in branding as WWF than it ever has as WWE.
I don't know. It seems like to me the people who say WWF are the people who don't know anything about wrestling. They say, "Yo, you watch that WWF stuff, maybe whatever." You know, that's the what I get out of it. Right though. I don't know, man. I just all this reverting though. It's like I was thinking we're reverting so much on WWE now with Million Dollar Man coming back. You got you got Papa Shango sitting in there with Alexa Bliss, basically, you know, that's, and then you got the damn good father or the godfather with his hose, you know, I mean, it's the truth, man. It's the same chicks that came out with good godfather when that was going on. It's coming out with Lashley. I mean, it's like they've served no purpose. It's just stupid, but whatever. But it's like, it seems like we're just reverting, constantly going back. And is Cena's coming back for SummerSlam? Yeah. Is that what we said?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know. I guess it's like if you keep doing it, there's no specialty to it when they do it, you know?
The only thing they look back to with any kind of fondness post Attitude Era is John Cena. That's like the only thing that they look back to with any kind of fondness at all. So they can go ahead and bring him back as well. So I don't
know. Why would that have fondness?
That's what they do. I mean, everything.
I know they do. They do. Yes.
The past is the only thing that seems to matter to these people. That's the only thing that seems to matter to these guys.
Yeah, and I could probably dig further. I could probably look at some of these other characters in storylines and say, yeah, that's from, you know, too. So, but those are just the ones that stuck out to me this week, you know, I was thinking about it. So I guess it works in a way, but I don't know. The whole WWF thing, that has me thinking. I'm real interested to see what happens with that. I haven't heard you say that until today.
I feel like when Universal gets it, they'll start integrating all that stuff into their amusement parks. I feel like that's when we're going to get like the real WWE Hall of Fame. It's going to be at City Walk in Orlando, or it's going to be in LA, and they'll be able to do all that shit. I don't think it's going to be worth a damn. And that's how you know Tony Khan. That's why the Tony Khan thing is so frustrating, is because even as much as he's fucked around with it at this point, he still has a great opportunity, because when Universal buys WWE, WWF, it's still going to be like not good.
It's not going to just get better all overnight. No,
I'm really looking forward to Universal turning this thing around. I
hope that's the case, but you know, yes, that's not.
You good. Think there's some idiot at Comcast Universal that thinks it's going to be a good idea to hire Vince Russo as like the creative director for World Wrestling for the new WWE? Wouldn't that be amazing? Incredibly typical though?
No, just don't even think that. Don't even think it. I don't even think that.
That would be like the most hilarious thing.
Oh, but you know, you're talking about the whole amusement park thing. Please remind us again of the Vince McMahon ride, what we would hear in line right before we'd get on this Vince McMahon ride.
Put away all of your pocketbooks and your purse and all your money and your keys. Lightning strikes. Nah. There'd have to be a ride where you get fired. That'd be like the funniest thing. You've been future endeavor, you're fired. I had it with your ass.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You like that Carolina Lightning thing?
Oh shit, man. That's the funniest shit I've heard in a while, dude.
That and Car Shield. You can't even watch the Car Shield commercial.
Just like when wrestling comes on, I'm like, in my head, I'm thinking, oh, God, it's some Car Shield commercials.
Who are the nation, boy? If you're worried about car repairs, I got some good news for you, Car Shield. Woo!
Isn't LA Knight in one of those commercials? Did I see that wrong?
There's this big pussy named LA Knight. I'm gonna beat the shit out of him just like I would put a figure four like on high car repair prices. Woo! That's what he does. Man, those commercials are really good.
Oh my God. Yeah, they're great.
There's people buying that shit too.
Oh God! Yes, we said that. Yes,
I can't believe there's people that are actually paying.
People are buying it because of him.
Don't pay money for that shit. Don't. It's a ripoff. Don't. It's bad. It's very, very bad. Don't do that.
Go get your reverse mortgage right after you do that.
Oh, it's bad. It's no good. I was watching NXT, but I was also like flipping back and forth because Conrad and Jeff Jarrett did a watch along on the first ever episode of TNA.
Yeah.
It was really interesting. It was really fascinating because you can watch it for free on YouTube. It's on the Impact channel.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a bitch because they kept throwing those ads in there and I had to pause it and get it resynced up and everything. So,
yeah. See, I was going to say, I don't mean to verge off here, but I don't like the watch alongs with anybody. I just, they delve off into other stuff and you're like looking at going, I wish they'd talking about this, you know.
and then he'll start tracking it for a minute and then he won't. It was a really interesting episode. It was the first appearance of the Dubs. Okay.
Yeah.
It was the Dubs. So the original Dubs were Bo and Stan and Fluff, right?
Fluff. Did we know that? Did we get Fluff? Do we remember Fluff?
Yeah, Fluff was doing the Daisy Duke gimmick.
Okay, you did Fluff. I didn't remember Fluff.
Yeah,
okay.
She was the blonde with the Daisy. She had the Daisy Duke gimmick.
I didn't remember the name, I guess. I remember her. I just didn't remember what her name was. So, I thought we'd said it, but I just didn't remember Fluff. But yeah, go ahead.
And then I'm trying to remember. I think Stan was actually Trevor Murdoch because they showed it. It was like a very young Trevor Murdoch. And then, of course, you know who Bo was, right? Oh, you're going to kick yourself. You're going to kick yourself when you hear this.
Who was it?
It was Otto Schwanz. It was fucking Otto Schwanz.
Oh, my God. That's right. I did not remember that.
So I saw him all
the time when we see him in Burlington.
Like the first couple times, I'm like, geez, that guy. I mean, this is again, what stupid.
Familiar. Who is this guy?
That guy looks just like Bo.
No, it's not Bo Dup, dude. Look, his name's Otto Schwanz.
We make fun of Marx, but we're like the biggest Marx in the history of Marx. We're like all the biggest fucking marks in the history of ever.
Just wore shirts that said Mark. We're big the biggest red fucking letters.
We're big fucking marks. I don't understand why Steve Carino dyed his hair all blonde. He's wearing that linen suit to the ring. That's just so weird.
But it looks so good, man. Look at it. Look how good it stands out. Look at that light. How it hits that suit. It looks look, awesome.
BJ Whitmer's got a white suit on too. Is this like a Saturday
That's
night
odd.
Fever?
Like, how did they do that? Did they get together?
It's really weird that they would wear a white suit to a wrestling match. Such fucking stupid marks.
Couple of dumbasses. How old were we then?
Well into our 40s. Almost.
Oh, damn. Were that old? Oh, damn.
So close to the senior citizens discount at IHOP. It's not even funny.
It makes sense now.
And all of a sudden, like, you know, 10 minutes later when they're gushing out gallons of blood, like, oh, wow. That blood really shows up a lot on those white suits. And with that blonde hair, that's
crazy.
But
they didn't wear those suits.
Yeah, that's a bad idea. I don't think the blood's ever gonna come out of that suit. I don't think you get blood out of linen. I mean, that'd be really hard to do. I don't think if you used woolite and shout and any of that stuff, you could ever get the blood out of a linen suit, man. That's crazy.
I know, it's horrible. You know, they were walking out going, God, the one time I wear a fucking white suit dress.
Jesus. I mean,
unbelievable.
I'm not kidding. We literally are like, oh, man, it's a white suit. And his hair is like fucking almost brilliantly bright white. That's crazy. I don't know why Carino would do that.
Is there a meaning behind this? What's up?
I don't understand what's going on. Whitmer's also wearing white. That is so strange. I didn't know that they were wearing it. Why are they wearing white?
What are they going to do?
I know it's a pay-per-view. They probably want to put on their best duds and everything, but holy shit, I don't know if a white suit. And I mean, it's kind of hot in here, so yeah, you want to remain cool, but it's not like, you know, Miami. You're not at South Beach or something playing polo. Right.
Yeah, looking like Don Johnson walking up in here.
So I saw, and I looked in the ring, and I was like, oh, that looks like Otto Schwanz, but he had hair. That's what threw me off, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So then I go on the old handy-dandy Wikipedia, and I was like, oh, it is. It's Otto. So Otto's got a website, which I don't think has been updated since – the Bush administration. And so there's an email.
Does it have a MySpace link?
It's http://angelfire-.
Angelfire. Say no more.
Angelfire.citysearch.
Never mind. So I get it.
There's an email on there, and it goes, contact Otto Schwanz. I was like, well, I'll invite him to, you know, come on the podcast, of course.
Fuck yeah.
So yes. I sent him an email. It's a Yahoo email, and it kicks back immediately to me, like, oh, we don't know what this fucking email address is. What are you doing, idiot?
Surprised it didn't blow up.
Are you going to go watch are you going to watch that season finale or that series finale of Friends, you dumb piece of shit? What are you trying to do?
HBO Max.
Jesus. Is Ally McBeal coming on soon, fucker? Is that what you're doing?
Ally McBeal.
So, yeah. My great scheme to have Otto Schwanz bugged up on the show didn't work. God,
we still need to work on that. We do. We need to get on. We need to get on that.
He's the greatest. He was amazing. He was like one of the best ever. So the first episode of TNA,
we never went up to him. Did we say anything?
I shook his hand a couple of times, but I don't ever had an extended conversation with him.
Okay. Okay.
Like, I remember specifically one year.
We didn't, like, have a Virgil conversation with him or anything like that.
No. That Virgil conversation was the best. Linda McMahon is definitely being elected to the United States Senate. Shane McMahon is married into the Robert Kraft family.
He was TMZ, bro.
Chris Benoit absolutely caught Nancy fucking another guy. There's no question about it. And Jesus, like, okay. Wow, Virgil, I've really been set. I feel like Virgil, that was like an early edition of QAnon. I think he was onto a message board that was like on an early edition of QAnon or something.
You know why that seems like that? Because none of that, absolutely none of that, was solicited.
No, it wasn't. We just like having a car. Hey, Virgil, we were just like,
Virgil, hey, man. We stayed here too because it was in the lobby of the hotel that we were.
Yeah, it was separate from where they were having at the regular place, you know. So we were over there with him, and he's watching like a game or something on TV. I can't remember what he was watching, but
I don't either. I don't something.
I don't remember, but he was, and we were just starting chatting. He was very nice to chat with us, and that was fun. But then he started spewing unsolicited, complete bullshit.
It kind of took a hard left about 15 minutes into it.
Or should I say
a hard right?
It was odd. Everything was very odd. So you should really go and watch. I think you'd really get a lot out of the first episode of TNA. It's really interesting. First of all, Abyss is on the show, but he's not Abyss.
What?
Yeah, he's like Chris Parks. He's in like a big singlet, and he's doing like he's kind of doing black hole slams and stuff like that, but they're calling him Prince Justice or something like that. Yeah. It's a trip and a half.
Doesn't have a mask on or anything?
Nada. He's just like a kid with fucking curly ass long hair in a singlet, weighing 325 or 330 pounds, doing some pretty cool shit and tossing people around. Because what they have in the main event of the first TNA ever was like a battle royal for the NWA title. And I'm trying to, like, Jeff Jarrett was trying to win it. And there's a bunch of people in it. Like, they got a guy that's dressed up like Scott Steiner, but it's not Scott Steiner. Rick Steiner is in it.
Okay.
Ken Shamrock is. It's a trip and a half. You should really watch it.
Yeah, so, man, I would. I can't even remember if I watched that first episode or not. But anyway,
it's great. You should go back. I'll send you the link or something. So you'll get a lot out of it. It's like all of your total favorites. Like, Ron the Truth Killings is on this episode. Sterling Marlin of NASCAR fame, Hermie Sadler, Toby Keith. This is how Jeff Jarrett establishes himself as a big-time heel on this show, okay? So this is 2002. This is like June of 2002, right? So
right.
Toby Keith's doing his "we'll put a boot in your ass" thing. As like, that's like a big hit and shit like that. He's doing that. So he's actually performing that song, and when he gets to the boot in your ass part, Jarrett comes on stage, shoves him aside, and goes to the ring, right? And then TNA security, which has been terrible all night long. The worst, they should have fired every fucking trainee that they put on one of those security shirts that night, because they were late to everything. They sucked. They looked like they weighed about 150 pounds soaking wet. They couldn't hold back my left nut. I mean, those guys were terrible all fucking night long. So Toby Keith is going to attack Jeff Jarrett, and Jeff Jarrett's in the ring just taunting him and go, "Hey, Toby, how do you like me now?" He says that to him. He establishes himself as a big time heel. Then in that main event, Toby Keith comes out in the battle royal. He suplexes. He gives Jeff Jarrett a pretty good working suplex as a non-worker, dude. And it was pretty good. I'm trying to like AJ Styles is in that first one.
What, James Storm and what was his first partner's name? Chris Harris,
the Wildcat.
Chris Harris, yeah, Wildcat.
Yes, you do get to see early versions of those gentlemen. In fact, Stormy comes out. He's got the duster on. He pulls the duster open. He's got six shooters. He fires blanks into the air in Huntsville at the Von Braun Coliseum.
Wow. I don't see
the Von Braun Arena, whatever it is. God, you don't. There's no Vince Russo on the show. They can never figure out exactly the timeline of this, because this was about the time that Vince went back to work for WWE for like 2 days. They had him up at Stanford for like 2 days, and then Vince and Stephanie were like, "Oh, we forgot you suck. Bye."
Yeah, we forgot.
We forgot. So they have all of these legends, these NWA legends, like Dory Funk Jr., Jackie Fargo is there, Bob Armstrong is there.
Wow. Jackie Fargo.
Yes.
Wow.
He's strutting and cutting too. They have Ricky Steamboat is in the ring, and he does most of the talking for everybody. Harley Race is there. Okay.
Wow. Sweet.
It's and then so Ricky goes, hey, as it turns out, I'm going to be the referee for this main event. So they get the battle royal down at the main event, and they get it to these last two competitors. And it's Ken Shamrock and then somebody else, whoever James Mitchell is managing. I can't remember who it is. And Ken Shamrock is the guy who comes away as your honest to God first NWA champion of the TNA era. He's the first one.
I'd have never known that. I'd have never guessed that.
That was how it worked out. And it's just, it's a trip. And then fucking, oh, have you ever seen Ed Ferrara from this era?
I think so. I mean,
he's got the fucking cornrows, dude. He's got long ass fucking cornrow braids that come down to his shoulders.
No, I don't remember that now.
Oh, it's crazy. So Don West, he said Don West comes out. He's like the first announcer. And Jeff Jarrett goes, this was like the first live wrestling show Don West has ever done in his life. He's done indie shows. He's done all this other shit. And he's nervous as shit. He's about to puke backstage. But he's able to kind of hide it, and he goes out and he does a good job and all this. Did you hear that Don has he's got some lymphoma or something, doesn't he?
Yeah, something like that. Pretty bad, sounds like.
I gotta find the link at adfreeshows.com because it's on there. Because they've just found this out. And he's working up at a radio station up in Washington State. And they just put this thing on. Just put the GoFundMe on there. So if you want to, there it is. The Don West Tag Team Against Lymphoma, organized by his, I don't know what the little link is, but just look for the Don West Tag Team Against Lymphoma on GoFundMe. They've already raised $9,200 of a $20,000 goal. So that's pretty good.
That's good.
And it says here, I don't know if this is accurate or not, it says Cody Runnels just gave $1,000.
So that sounds legit.
I mean, I think that's great if that's the deal. Congratulations to Cody and his lovely wife on the birth of the child. Very nice. Glad that the mother and child are doing well, and they did it just in time to celebrate Father's Day. So that worked out really well.
Nice.
Although, honestly, I don't know what that man
would
mean.
But I will warn them.
Yes.
Having a daughter or child's birthday, really, right at Father's Day, never seems
it's not a good thing
mesh very well, but you know, some people work it out okay, others don't.
I don't know what kind of present that Cody needs. The conception should have been enough. That'd live with me forever, honey. I don't need anything else. I'm good.
I think I'd be set.
Let me look and see if there's some other people on here. That's really nice. It's really nice that people are throwing in some cash into that thing. So yeah, if you can give some money to, I'll leave the link in our comment section on the podcast so people can check it out. I hope people will be able to give a couple of bucks to Don West because he's a good guy. So it's Mike Tenay, and it's Don West, and it's Ed Ferrara. That is your commentary team for the very first episode of TNA, and then. I'm trying to think the first match features, I think, the Flying Elvises, which is Sonny Siaki, Jimmy Wang Yang, and then somebody else in Elvis suits doing crazy shit. And then, like, the second match was actually midgets. Very odd. Very strange. Yeah. And then from the beginning, they had the girls dancing in cages. Do you remember the girls dancing in cages?
I think I remember that, but maybe I don't. Now, I'm just thinking back just a few months ago or a year ago when they were doing that underground shit, and they were doing the cage dancing in that on
pretty WWE. Pretty much for the first year, they at least on TNA, they did the girls in the dancing cages.
I want to say I do remember. I may not remember it from that very first show because I don't know if I remember seeing that very first show, but I do remember them dancing in cages.
It's pretty neat. And then they bring out a bunch of women. They fuck up the intros on the women because you can't really hear it so much. But Francine is one of them. And Mickey James is one of them. But she's Alexis Laurie at that point. Mm-hmm. And there were a bunch of women that ends up with Gail a cat Kim, fight.
Was she in there?
I don't think Gail Kim was in there at that time.
Okay. I couldn't remember.
One of the girls gets after Francine, and then they do a wardrobe malfunction thing. And Don West has to cover the girl up. That happened.
That's very Vince Russo-ish, even though he wasn't there.
I was trying to think, like, again, who are your all-stars from the – we've kind of done, like, your all-stars from TNA, but you're, like, your the early days of TNA. To me, Elix Skipper always stands out, and Amazing Red, and, of course, AJ. Those are, like, always the guys that I think of when I think of those. And Sonny Siaki. Mm-hmm. I still think Sonny Siaki could have worked. I still think Sonny Siaki was money.
I think he and Elix Skipper both were underrated.
I agree.
I think they flew under the radar quite a bit, yes.
Fucking Elix Skipper, you can just throw him into any match whatsoever. You could throw him in cold, and he was always really good, right?
Yeah, and we met him too, man. Remember? He was.
I don't remember meeting. When was that? Was that 2010? Was that in Charlotte?
That was in Martinsville.
Martinsville.
Yeah, he was in that. I want to say he was in that picture with Eric. What's his face?
Eric Young with the Team Canada guys.
Yeah. Eric. What's it? Nah, I keep on saying Eric Embry. That's not
Eric. Eric Young.
Young. Yeah.
Was Eric Young and Petey Williams in Abyss?
Petey, yeah.
Up there.
That was it. Then,
okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Now that you mentioned that, I think I do remember it. And that was a show again that Herbie Sadler, who was also on this first episode. See, Herbie Sadler and Sterling Marlin are in this. And Sterling Marlin, for people that don't know, was a NASCAR driver. At this time in 2002, he was actually in the lead in the NASCAR points standings. He was like the guy.
Yeah.
People don't remember this. People have forgotten about this. So in February of 2001, Dale Earnhardt dies in Daytona. And because Sterling Marlin was somehow involved in that last lap thing, he gets a lot of death threats. People were sending death threats to Sterling Marlin that he was the one that killed Dale Earnhardt. And the next week they're going to Rockingham. Dale Jr. has to kind of call a press conference and go, hey, just stop it. Just knock it off. And that was one of Sterling Marlin's, like, his claim to fame. And he had a couple of good years. I think when Dodge got back into the sport, he hooked up with Ray Everham and the Dodge team originally, but he made an appearance on that very first ever TNA show. And Jeff Jarrett goes, well, we were trying to do the country music NASCAR thing with wrestling. And we were trying to appeal to, like, the South and the Midwest, And so there, I mean, essentially this was going to be the Fox News of wrestling. Is what it sounds like it was going to be.
Yeah.
So you can imagine if they would have continued on that particular trend, you can imagine the kind of angles. Like if Vince Russo truly was in charge of creative of a Fox News kind of TNA now, he would have some sort of transgendered person who would beat the shit out of all the women, right? And you could never stop them. That would be like an angle that he would do, right?
Did you say Tony Khan would do that? No, I said because Tony Khan is doing that.
Oh,
just FYI.
I see what you did there.
Sorry, stood out like a sore thumb to me.
You heard us on the Brad and Britcast, like, no, Donald Trump doesn't own an NFL team, but if he did, he would sign Tim Tebow and he would shove it down everybody's throat. So it's kind of as if he does.
Yes.
That's great,
man.
I can't, but
so, you know what, though? All this TNA, I think, and this may have been a joke, and it still may be a joke if I say it, but I think they ought to do that for WrestleCade, like they did with World Class, like have an OG TNA.
I'd love to see all these people we
just mentioned, you know?
I'd love to see Elix Skipper, Amazing Red. I'd love to see if Conan wanted to go. It'd be great if Conan was there. You can't do AJ, obviously, because he's under contract or whatever. Low-key.
You know, Jarrett would be there probably. Yeah.
Got it. You know, Jeff Jarrett. I would hope. I'd love to see Jeff and Jerry. I mean, they finally mended fences after all these years.
I mean, why not? Yeah.
I'd love to see Jeff and Jerry making their move. Oh, Brian Christopher was on the first episode too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Brian Christopher was on the first episode. So when R-Truth comes out and starts attacking, this is like crazy. This is what makes me think that I can't believe Russo wasn't involved with this. R-Truth starts kind of promo on Sterling Marlin and Herbie Sadler going, it's people like us that we can throw footballs and we can do all kind of athletic shit. And all you do is turn your little cars around, turn left and shit. So Herbie Sadler starts getting in his face. Brian Christopher comes in and makes the racist save. And he's still gimmicked up. He's got his too sexy shit on with his, you know, with his aviator glasses and shit like that. And he throws R-Truth, who is, I guess, Cake Quick at that point. I guess that's what they call him. Cake
Quick, yeah.
They throw like him out
there. Some chocolate mix.
And he's like, I'll kick your ass and I'll do it next week. And then and 20 seconds later, as R-Truth could have easily come in the ring and started back, that's when the TNA security comes in, those stupid trainees at their school.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like 500 years too late. I got to tell you, that's one of my favorite things of any kind of indie wrestling show or any wrestling show at all, but really like the indie wrestling show. They make the young boys do like the security detail and try to get them off. Like if someone's attacking the ref, I love it when that guy, you can always tell, like, you can usually tell who's going to make it and who's not going to make it among the trainees. Like I was there one night at CWF and they had to get this guy's attention like four times to get him to try to do some shit. And he's like just zoning off. And it's some big fat ass dude, and they're like, hey, come on. Like, oh, yeah, okay, I gotta go over there. And so you can just tell who's gonna make it and who's not gonna make it based on that shit, right?
Yeah, it's usually a telltale.
This was the most suck ass bunch of trainees ever. And then Jeff Jarrett goes, yeah, we had to like go out at the last minute and get somebody to print up some t-shirts that said like security on them with the TNA logo and all this shit because they were just.
Yeah, we used to get those shirts when I was at Myrtle Beach back when I was like 15 years old.
You know? Exactly. So they had this guy in, they had a dark match before everything started on the first, and it was this guy who just died. His name is Cheeks. Have you heard of this guy?
I don't think so.
Cheeks was this really large black guy. He was like 350 pounds. So they fucked up the ring. They broke the ring like minutes before you're supposed to go like live.
Legit on legit broke the ring?
Oh, it broke the ring. So like before, this is so great. So, you know, they're on satellite because it's all pay-per-view back then. It was like you paid $8 or $10 for that weekly pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. That's why I didn't watch it.
Right. So you go, but it's free for you now on YouTube. Anytime you want to watch it.
I'm going to go watch it.
But yeah, all it has, it's just got like 500 nationwide commercials in there. That's all. You'll be watching some shit and it'll be like.
It'll be like watching Pluto.
It's like watching Pluto. You got like, I just do this out of, it's not anything derogatory or homophobic. I call him Mike Too Gay. That's what I call him instead of Mike Tanay because, you know, that's something you would do if you were 12.
Yeah, so, well, you know.
You're like, hey, Mike Too Gay. Look, he's going to put, like, an enchilada move on him. And all of a sudden, woo, car shield. It would be a car shield. Man, you got high car pitch. They suck ass. I don't make you. Woo. You get the countdown to 3, 2, 1, and here's Mike Too Gay. And yes, his mentor was Hachimoto Hachikote, you know, or something like that. And that's what you're watching, right?
That's so true, man.
That's what you're. So the ring legit breaks. So they're doing the pyro and shit to start off the very first TNA ever. And like the Shane twins are down there with wrenches and shit trying to get the ropes back up and shit. Because Harley Race and, you know, Bob Armstrong and all of these legends are heading toward the ring. And you can't have like the saggy ass ropes and the thing on the ground and shit like that. And they're trying to get all this shit done. And Don West is up there scared shitless like he's going to shit his pants trying to just kill time. While him and Mike Too Gay and you know, the guy who really is a cultural misappropriation, Ed Ferrara, I guess at that point we'd completely forgiven him for the Oklahoma thing. But, you know, hey, Jeff, he made fun of a guy with Bell's palsy. Fuck it. We're hiring him. He's never done color commentary before. Fuck it. Let's do it.
And he has dreadlocks now. So
it's unbelievable. You should see him. It's so funny. I think he actually teaches a writing class or something for that Full Sail University. I think that's what Ferrara like
nowadays
does.
He does.
Yeah, I think that's what he does now. Yeah, I think he teaches like a writing class. Man, that Full Sail University. I wish that would have been a thing like when I was younger. I don't know if it was or not.
What the hell is it? I don't even know what the hell it is.
It specifically trains people for like motion pictures and broadcasting and that sort of stuff.
Oh, okay.
And I think they also do some computer graphics, but it's basically for folks. It's like
a technical college for those for broadcasters.
Kind of, yeah. And you just take those, and it's like for writers and I don't know if
writers and stuff. Yeah,
I don't know
if they
do acting per se, but they do like broad. I think they do there's a sports journal. I think Dan Patrick has like a sports journalism class down there or something.
Oh no shit! Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, that would have been cool as shit, right?
Okay. Well, I didn't know that. How about that?
So they got to fix the ring up. They got to get the wrenches and all that stuff. So they had this, the Shane Twins gimmick on the first episode of TNA ever is a tag team called the Johnsons, which is legitimately, I know what you're thinking, and you're right.
I don't know. I gave it away.
They had this guy who was a manager, and he's supposed to be like one of the Revenge of the Nerd guys, sort of. He's kind of got that gimmick. His name is Milton Pursewood or something like that, and he's doing a promo. And these guys have flesh-colored body suits that that make them look like penises. I mean, they look like penises. And so Conrad's giving him a hard time, like, so, Jeff, what are you think you're going to get out of this? You going to get, like, some merch out of this? Or
no shit, man.
He's like giving him 10 tons of shit. And, like, Jeff's not as bad as, like, Pritchard or those other guys. It's about, like, Meltzer. But he'll go, like, there's this one thing where Jeff goes, well, I don't know why. Who said that? Who said that they were supposed to show up like that? And Conrad goes, well, your dad told Wade Keller that this guy was supposed to show. It's like... Holy shit. They were so Jeff and his dad were like so on opposite ends of the universe at that point in time. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So that was another thing that I remember from the first episode of it really is a trip and a half. And they do some of those really awful backstage skits with Goldie.
Yeah.
They're in full effect. You get to see all of that shit. All of that stuff.
Hey, what about Bobby Roode? Was he there? Was he in there yet?
No, there's
Canadian thing.
There's no Bobby Roode. There's no Scott D'Amore. There's no none of the Canadian contingent is in there. It's AJ. All the people like you said, Storm and Harris and Elix Skipper, AJ.
Was Petey in there?
Petey was not there. R-Truth is there. Like I said, Abyss before he's even Abyss. They said that Dutch saw the tape of him doing that wacky shit and doing the slams and stuff, and that's when Dutch took him over to Puerto Rico, and that's when they came up with the Abyss gimmick for parts.
Oh, okay.
So that was fucking amazing.
Wow, okay. Didn't know that.
Man, to hear Jeff talk about all this stuff behind the scenes, and they were just like, a ton of, he said there's like a ton of, he called them little Easter eggs and little pieces of that they were going through and they're talking about all that stuff. And like some of those people that were in the ring that he's like talking shit to be a heel. Some of those people have known him since he was 3 years. Like Jackie Fargo knew Jeff. He said, Jackie Fargo gets on the mat and he goes, boy, I've known you since you were shitting yellow. It's an amazing historical document. It really is, because you can't – it's just impossible to really quantify what that promotion has meant. I know it's like so many people shit on it, and it's really easy to do it because they've done so many terrible things, and they've certainly had – God, they gave Vince Russo way more life in his career than he ever should have had. But, I mean, look at
you know what? They're still around. They're still here.
They've given so many great – you know, like AJ Styles. AJ Styles is like one of the great, and you know, the majority of Kurt Angle's career was spent there. You know, and he had some great, he and Samoa Joe had some amazing matches down there. Samoa Joe had a lot of stuff going on down
there. Yeah, Samoa Joe was large in there.
America's Most Wanted was a great tag team.
America's Most Wanted, yeah. Shit.
They were a fantastic tag team. Team Canada was really a very over, I mean, that's a fucking, I mean, Team Canada.
The beautiful one, the beautiful people.
Aren't the beautiful people and like Team Canada, aren't they better than any of the factions that are currently in All Elite Wrestling?
Yeah, all 5,000 of them.
I thought we added another faction. Didn't we add another faction or something?
I don't know. But you know what, dude? I'm going to tell you who's about to get out of control with the factions, too. And you may have noticed NXT. It tonight. Yes.
Yeah. Hit Row is over.
Oh, my God.
But wait a minute. But I got to – Hit Row is over. They're over. I give them that one. Now, that thing at the end with Stokely Hathaway, I don't know what the fuck that is. Diamonds and dust or diamonds and steel. I don't know what that is. I have no idea.
See, it's just out of control, man. I'm not even sure who this Ever Rise is.
I don't
what
know.
Who are they? What are they?
I don't know. That's what it's the batteries. You replace your Energizers with some Ever Rise. Your batteries go down. I don't know. I'm just happy we've been 2 weeks on NXT with no abductions. Nobody's been kidnapped in 2 weeks on that show.
I know, man. It's
great.
It's refreshing, is what it is.
Did Cornette start calling it all abduction wrestling or abduction elite wrestling or something?
AAW.
Honestly, hearing him shit on that show is much more entertaining than actually watching the show itself. I got to be completely and totally honest with you.
I don't think I ever went back and listened to it, but I need to do that.
Did you actually watch any of the Dynamite? You saw the MMA fight at the beginning of Dynamite?
No, see, I didn't see Dynamite this week. This whole Friday night thing is just fucking me up.
It's fucking everybody up. It was Jake Hager against, I guess, Wardlow or somebody for
Wardlow. Yeah, I did see the thing for it, but I didn't see.
So it was an MMA fight, and then of course it gets broken up and shit. And then he's right.
So nobody wins.
Nobody wins in the end. Nobody wins. It's terrible. And then
damn, Elton John.
No, it's one of his lesser hits, but still not up there with Sartorial Eloquence. Now that
no,
is
it's
a really
not.
Great hit. Don't you want to play this game no more? Don't you want to play no more?
Just my ego.
Ego, ego, ego. I turned out to be ego. That's an ancient bar Ric Flair. Woo! Car Shield. They get you save money on shit. Pay me. Woo! Sorry.
Nice segue from ego, man. I'll give you that one.
But they were like, MJF's turned into I don't even really want to see MJF anymore. Like I don't really care about MJF that much. They've kind of turned me off of him on All Elite Dynamite's wrestling, right?
Is it just because you've seen too much of him or what?
The way they use him. They use him in such a stupid way. You never see him really wrestle that much, and then he interferes in the dumbest way possible, and it's like it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way about the whole Alexa Bliss thing too. I mean, that's just to be done with it. Just move on to something else.
Who was teaming with her this week? Was it Nikki Cross?
Yeah.
It's like, we can't get anybody else to hang out with this bitch because they're tired of her gimmick. So, hey, Nikki, come on over.
Yeah. And, oh, there's another one. Let's go back to the Hurricane with Nikki Cross and then the whole, hero outfit or whatever.
I was watching Raw with somebody at work last night, and they go, oh, shit, the Viking Raiders, they're still on there. I didn't know that. Of all the people that have been fired by this promotion, the Viking Raiders still exist.
I got to tell you, man, they're not wrong. I don't get that one either. I liked Rowan Hansen back when they were in ROH, but they were a badass. They were badasses. But in WWE, they just are they're big and bad, don't get me wrong. But they don't come across as being such badasses like they did in ROH.
Yeah, it's not the same. It's not the same, for sure. I don't know. If you would have given me a quiz and asked me if those guys are still in the WWE, I wouldn't have known.
Oh, they just came back. I mean, we haven't seen them in I don't remember seeing them for months until I saw them maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. They just kind of appeared, kind of like – what's his name did the your boy that was the champ from India.
Oh, Jingle My Balls.
Jingle My Balls. Yes, he just kind of appeared, man.
That was weird, right? And they were going to use him for a minute, and then they didn't use him. It was like, oh, we're going to bring him back, but oh no, we're not. I watched a little bit of Hell in a Cell. I thought the opening match there between Bayley and Bianca Belair, I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
From what I gather, the Bobby Lashley against Drew McIntyre thing was good, except it ended with a stupid fruit roll up.
Yes. 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 That was I thought the same thing, man. I'm thinking, as much shit as Bobby Lashley gets from us and whoever. Yes. That was a good match, man. I really enjoyed it. It was up until what you just said, the little freaking roll up bullshit in a Hell in a Cell match, dog. I'm sorry. I was just a pin to the balloon, man. It was just, I just couldn't take it. I'm glad you said that.
That's funny. I don't know. I've heard some different reviews, and I've seen some of Hell in a Cell, And I thought some of it was okay, and I thought some of it wasn't that okay.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I mean, it was pretty typical pay-per-view overall. You know, some good matches, some almost great matches. There were no great matches, I don't think. Did you think there was any that you saw or read?
Not that I'm aware yeah. of anything that could be considered great, but there's so very little that's considered great anyway.
Well, this is true.
I mean, that's the hard part is, like, we're the wrestling show that's trying – we should really be the lapsed fans. Because we're trying so hard. We're just trying so hard in a world that tells us more and more, don't ever be fans of this. Please, we're trying hard not for you to be fans of this. And we just still keep clinging on.
It's too late for us. It's too late.
I've been also – I subscribe to Audible, and they have a couple of wrestling books that are included in your membership, so you don't have to actually buy them with your credits. And one of them is the Terry Funk book that was written by Scott Williams, and it's pretty good. It's pretty interesting. I don't know if there's anything in there that's really groundbreaking or anything like that, but he's got some interesting thoughts on the business and going to Japan and talking about when he and his wife, they separated and they got divorced. I didn't know that she remarried. She actually remarried, ended up leaving her second wife and coming back to him.
Huh.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it is crazy. I had no idea.
And then he talked about how that's when he had the championship. And he, you know, his brother had it and gave it up because this travel schedule was just nuts. It was just crazy. And then he had the same thing because, like, I had already kind of fucked up my family before. Then I wasn't going to do that again. But the cool thing when Dory had the championship, and they did this. I know they did this in fucking Southeast. I know Ron Fuller did this and some of the different promotions did it. You could go in with Terry and go into whatever territory, like a week or two before Dory got there and go, all right. You're not good enough to face my brother. You got to beat me first. So they get a payday out of that, dude. They have, like, him and Dory Sr., Terry and Dory Sr. in the, you know, fighting whoever the top babyface is in the territory and trying to cheat that guy. And then you can have a program with them for like 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month before they get over, before they prove that they're good enough to take on Dory Sr. for the championship. It's fucking, it's brilliant.
It's the way it used to work, dude.
It's fantastic.
It's the way it used to work. It sounds so just, it takes me back.
That was a unique situation that they had in the NWA when he had the title that, like, nobody else could do. And then he talked about when all of a sudden he saw that show on TBS and, like, it was just going to be one territory. He knew how difficult it was going to be to keep running Amarillo the way they were running it. And they had to kind of get out at that point in time. And then he had to kind of reconfigure how he was going to go about his business. He was going to do some shots here in the United States and eventually just make a lot of his money over in Japan. But he was trying to devote a lot of his time to his family. I mean, geez, Terry Funk has had, you know, how many different careers has Terry Funk actually had?
Bunch.
Like that first part of him when he becomes the champion, he's kind of a straight wrestler and all that stuff. Then he becomes kind of a wild man back in the late 70s and early 80s when he's doing the empty arena match with Jerry Lawler and all that stuff. Then he, you know, he does he's the Japanese death match crazy ass guy over there with that one. And then
I think that was the page turner for him.
And then that springboards him into the hardcore shit that he was doing with ECW and WWE and all that. He's like, he's had all these different fucking careers, right? It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And you know, he's what's he, early 70s, maybe late 60s now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's had so many different freaking. Yeah.
I was just going to say, you know, he is like Abdullah the Butcher. That's who it was that we were talking about. Well, I was talking about one time, I think, back in the day when we're watching the Mid-Atlantic days. And it was such a, I don't know, treat, I guess, maybe, when people like Abdullah the Butcher would come in, or like when Terry Funk would come in, because they would just stay, work a gig with Flair or something, and then they'd be gone.
It was an attraction. It was like Andre coming in.
Yeah, Andre and I could. There was like a handful of people I was thinking about not too long ago, and for whatever reason, I was just thinking about this, that when guys like him would come into the area, I'd be so excited. Like Nick Bockwinkel, he would come in for just a minute and then be gone. Who's
Brody? Brody was like that in a lot of territories. Brody would come in and out.
Brody, and Tim Woods back in the day, you know, Mr. Wrestling. I don't know. I just don't know. I just enjoyed when they would come in and they'd run their little course and be gone and come back maybe a year or so, 2 years, you know, just never knew, but
Terry Funk made me like him more.
Made him more intriguing to me.
Terrence Funk will be 77 on June the 30th.
Wow. Really?
June the 30th. He'll be 77 years old.
He's just like my mom's age.
That's right. He's a little bit older. He's like a year older than my mom, a little bit older than my mom. So yeah, it's amazing. And he said that Snuka and Brody were a fantastic tag team over in Japan. He said they were an amazing tag team over in Japan.
Snuka and Brody, I can imagine. Shit.
Yeah. Because they got it all. You get ground.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
You can fly or you can go on the ground and get your ass kicked. So it's like the most amazing thing.
Take your choice. Take your pick.
So if you sign up for Audible and you do it through our website, which is katievick.com, which is that's our Amazon store, then you can, that's part of the thing that's included in your stuff. Any other closing thoughts on another award-winning episode of A Katie Vick is Alive Alive?
I did see Dynamite Kid. I went back and watched it.
Pretty uplifting, isn't it? just in time for Father's Day.
Just a Father's Day gift for all. Yeah. I didn't know much about it. I as much of a Bulldogs fan as I was when I first started watching WWF back in the day, I really didn't know, the background story or behind the scenes story of Dynamite Kid. I've read bits and pieces of it since his death and that sort of thing, but didn't even like Pillman. There was some of that stuff I didn't know that they brought out to us, but I don't know. Bellington to me just seemed like he was had just like a Napoleon syndrome to him. And that's more or less what it boiled down to. I don't think he was off the chain crazy or anything. I don't think he was a Benoit. He may have been, he crossed the line a little bit with the, abuse and stuff, but
I think he was just a severely unhappy person for sure.
He seemed unhappy. But I don't think I don't think he was Benoit as bad as, any kind of abuse he did. I'm not saying that, but Benoit is a pretty low bar to be at. But
what about his ex-wife rolling her eyes when they brought up the Jacques Rougeau thing?
I watched for that when you told me that, and she did, man. I'm like, really?
Yeah, I'm so sorry that your late ex-husband was such a dick, and he had to get like three of his teeth taken out by Jacques Rougeau because he was such an idiot. I'm so sorry that we have to ask you about that, but Jesus.
Even that whole Jacques Rougeau thing was just crazy to me. I was like, wow.
So I'd forgotten. I told Dino Bravo. And he thought he was going to get the mafia involved. And they fucking ended up, they moved out of their house. The Billingtons had to move out of their house because they thought the mafia was going to come to kill them.
It's almost like that was referencing another Dark Side of the Ring with Bravo, man. It makes me want to go back and watch that again. Almost.
Okay, so now you have to go and watch the China documentary on Vice, which is not part of Dark Side of the Ring. It's just separate.
It's about China. China documentary.
Yeah, okay. Joni, about Joni Lahr.
Joni, okay.
It's gonna very much piss you off.
I'm sure. I was gonna say I don't know if I want to watch it, but okay. Because
this documentary crew ends up using her very badly.
Really?
Yeah, they end up being like everybody else that was ever in her life that used her. It's really awful.
God dang it!
And I've seen about half of it, and I've seen about half of Mick Foley with Stone Cold on Broken Skull Sessions, and it's pretty good. It's like a 2-hour sit down between Mick Foley and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I saw about half of that. Did you see it?
I've seen about half of it.
So
Undertaker threw you off the top of a cage. Tell me about that. You had your spine holding. You was folded up like an accordion. Tell me about that.
That's pretty much what it was. I kind of got sucked into it. I didn't really mean to watch it because I figured they would just talk about the same old shit, which
but they kind of did some little watch along stuff about getting the ear taken off and shit like that. That was very interesting, I thought.
Yeah, that was cringy, man. When it was showing him
Oh, but the story about them trying to pick on that Diamond Dallas Page when he was traveling. Yeah. With him. Oh, my God.
Dude, I tweeted Austin. I said, God dang, I was rolling. I was in tears. I was laughing so fucking hard.
Ken Foley's like, just, it's not really the chocolate cookies that bother me so much. It's having your bare ass bounce up and down off of me, Dallas.
And then talking about that shit he had on his knees, he said all they heard was they didn't see anything because it was dark in the room, and all I heard was
he gets down in the bed with the cookies when it's all over, he goes guys, tomorrow night I'm getting my own room. So you'll know what we're talking about if you watch. You'll know what we're talking about it when you watch the latest Broken Skull Sessions with Mick Foley.
Watch that.
Follow Bryant on social media, Instagram and Twitter, Bryant Sports, BRY Sports. Mm-hmm. He's on TikTok, Stanley Jackson 23. The show is on Twitter at Katie Vick Alive. I'm on Twitter at Britt Whitmire. I'm on Instagram at B-Dub for Reels, B-D-U-B, number 4, R-E-E-L-Z. And you can support us by going to our Amazon store, which is katievick.com. It's katievick.com. Till next time, fans, we'll see you ringside.
Fans, that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.